immense value to historians. Her manuscripts have survived as her lasting monument.
The essay was presented by Amanda Vickery. Tomorrow, cartoonist Martin Rosen explores the life and times of William Hogarth.
Live in Concert brings you Haydn's choral masterpiece, The Creation. This fantastically inventive oratorio, which fuses Haydn's creativity with his deeply felt religious conviction, represents the birth of life in music. The Creation is brought to life by Sir Simon Rattle, who conducts the choir and orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment, with soloists Susan Gritton, John Mark Ainsley and Peter Rose. So join me, Sarah Moore-Peach, for what promises to be a very special Live in Concert on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, and now it's time for Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
Thank you, James. Good evening. Well, tonight we have a very special guest, Neil Hannon. So get ready to tweet him a standing ovation at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction, or you can email us at late.junction@bbc.co.uk to say welcome, Neil Hannon. He's got an astonishing range of talents, a distinctive rich baritone voice. He writes witty subversive songs with intriguing arrangements. He has a literary bent that led him to call his band Divine Comedy. And even he once introduced a song for the band Keen by reading a W.B. Yeats poem. Renaissance man. Who else has sung with Robbie Williams and also on the Doctor Who soundtrack or written music for Father Ted, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Charlotte Gainsbourg? Well, I recorded this music exchange and chat session with him when he was in London last month for the world premiere of To Our Fathers in Distress, part of the South Bank Centre's Pull Out All the Stops festival. So, just to usher him in, here's his band Divine Comedy. It's from their album released in 2006, Victory for the Comic Muse. This is A Lady of a Certain Age.
Back in the day you had been part of the smart set. You'd holidayed with kings, dined out with starlets. From London to New York, Capferra to Capri. In perfume by Chanel and clothes by Givenchy. You sipped Camparis with David and Peter at Noel's party by Lake Geneva, scaling the dizzy heights of high society, armed only with a checkbook and a family tree. You chased the sun around the Côte d'Azur until the light of youth became obscured and left you on your own and in. An English lady of a certain age, and if a nice young man would buy you a drink, you'd say with a conspiratorial wink, you wouldn't think that I was 70, and he'd say no, you couldn't be. You had to marry someone very, very rich so that you might be kept in the style to which you had all of your life been accustomed to, but that the socialists had taxed away from you. You gave him children, a girl and a boy, to keep your sanity. A nanny was employed, and when the time came they were sent away. Well, that was simply what you did in those days. You chased the sun around the Côte d'Azur until the light of youth became
nice young man would buy you a drink. You'd say with a conspiratorial wink, you wouldn't think that I was 63. And he'll say, no, you couldn't be. Your son's in stocks and bonds and lives back in Surrey. Flies down once in a while and leaves in a hurry. Your daughter never finished her finishing school. Married a strange young man of whom you don't approve. Your husband's hollow heart gave out one Christmas day. He left the villa to his mistress in Marseille. And so you come here to escape your little flat, hoping someone will fill your glass and let you chat about how you chase the sun around the Côte d'Azur until the light of youth became obscure and left you all alone and in an English lady of a certain age. And if a nice young man would buy you a drink, you'd say with a conspiratorial wink, you wouldn't think that I was 53. And you'd say, no, you couldn't be.
A Lady of a Certain Age, sung by Neil Hannon with his band Divine Comedy. And we're very fortunate to have Neil with us today. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Max.
A Lady of a Certain Age. It sounds like it's got all kinds of echoes of European fantasies. Peter Sarsted comes to mind, for a start. Kurt Vile comes to mind.
Actually, the Sarsted reference was made very early on when it came out.
It sounds like Peter Sarsted, whether it's true or not, wrote that, at least with a younger man's head on. Whereas your Lady of a Certain Age is in her 60s, and I just thought, well, it's amazing that you've got that perspective because you're far from 60.
I don't know. Inside, perhaps I'm a little older than on the outside. Yeah, I'd been reading the diaries of Noel Coward and, you know, the incredible figures that would proliferate his life were in my thoughts at the time. Also, I'd been asked to write songs for Jane Birkin, so that melody was sort of initially for her. But the further I got into the lyric, the more I realised that I couldn't really sort of have a lady of a certain age singing the song itself. It just didn't really work. So I sang it myself. I'm very fond of it.
So Jane Birkin never sang it?
No, but she's quite welcome to.
I thought Marianne Faithfull might have done
it. Oh,
that
would be fantastic.
Because, like, she sang at the age of 37.
That's right, yes.
So it worked for her. Mm. You've brought some tunes into the studio tonight. And the first one...
It's Pirate Jenny, the Threepenny Opera, and it's by Kurt Vile, and sung wonderfully by Lottie Lenya.
And Lottie Lenya was not only married to Kurt, not only did she have a wonderful voice, but she's also Rosa Klebb in From Russia With Love, isn't she?
Is she?
Yes.
Wow, I'd never put that two and two together. So I'm going to rewatch that film now.
So you have to think of her with a woman with a knife in her shoe. Anyway, so Pirate Jenny.
While I'm scrubbing the floors, and I'm scrubbing the floors while you're gawking. And maybe once you tip mend, it makes you feel swell. And I'm ready while I'm fronting, I'm ready all to tell.
talking. You never guess to who you're talking. Suddenly one night there's a scream in the night, and you wonder what could that have been. And you see me kind of grinning while I'm scrubbing, and you wonder what she got to grin. And a ship, a black freighter, with a skull on its masthead, will be coming in. Gentlemen can say, hey girl, finish the floors, get upstairs, make the beds, earn your keep here. You toss me your tips and look out at the ships, but I'm counting your heads while I make up the beds, 'cause there's nobody gonna sleep here tonight. None of you will sleep here. Then that night there's a bang in the night, and you yell, who is that kicking up a row? And you see me kind of staring out the window, and you say, what's she got to stare at now? And the ship, the black freighter, turns around in the harbor, shooting guns from the bow. Then you gentlemen can wipe off that laugh from your face. Every building in town is a flat one. Your whole stinking place will be down to the ground. Only this cheap hotel standing up safe and sound. And you yell, why do they spare that one? And you say, why do they spare that one? All the night through with the noise and to-do, you wonder who's the person lives up there. Then you see me stepping out into the morning, looking nice with a ribbon in my hair. And the ship, the black freighter, runs the flag up its masthead, and the cheering's there. By noontime, the dock is all swarming with men coming off of that ghostly freighter. They're moving in the shadows where no one can see, and they're chaining up people and bringing them to me, asking me, kill them now or later? Asking me, kill them now or later? Noon by the clock, and so still on the dock, you can hear a foghorn miles away. In that quiet of death, I'll say, right now. And they pile up the bodies, and I'll say, that'll learn ya. And the ship, the black freighter, disappears out to sea.
Philip Glass's Facades. And perhaps my guest, Neil Hannon, can tell me who was performing that?
I think it was the Philip Glass Ensemble, his self. Yeah, I'd not actually heard that version. It's really kind of different from the Berlin Phil one that I'm used to. It's slightly more sort of up close and personal. It's nice.
Yes. And that's kind of Philip Glass after he's beginning to creep away from minimalism. Hey, there was a melody and a lead instrument and all
I know,
that.
And yet there's still sort of fabulous dissonance and what was it that Joby used to tell me? It's a false relation. The note points you in one way and then he sort of undercuts it with a chord that you weren't expecting. So it's nice, harmonically.
It's just always so lovely to listen to, isn't it? And even the lead melody is kind of very geometric.
I find it profoundly moving sometimes, you know, when I'm in the right mood. Not at all kind of dislocated or dry and cold like some people find it.
We recently played some Philip Glass. He does a couple of visits, maybe a year, maybe every 2 years, to the mountains of Mexico and plays with these two guys. One's on fiddle and one, I think, is on trez. And you suddenly realise how minimalist some Mexican music is. And he just plays piano along with them. And it's in some, I don't know, I imagine it's in a bar on top of a mountain, but that's probably too romantic.
I should do that sort of stuff, but I can never get myself off the sofa.
You say that, but you've been in London on the Pull Out All the Stops organ festival at the Royal Festival Hall, which is all about their organ being refurbished and open again for public use and public marvel. And you've written a piece called To Our Fathers in Distress.
Yeah, which is a steal from Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. When they asked me to write a piece with the organ in mind, I thought it was a good opportunity to think about Sundays, what my dad did. He was a clergyman. And try and remember stuff from my youth, which I've never really tried to do in terms of, you know, my songwriting. And it was interesting because I did remember things that I hadn't thought about in 30 years.
What kind of things?
Getting lost in the woods when walking one day with my brother Brendan, and just the naked fear of we're orphans now, we're doomed. And then, you know, you turn a corner and there they are.
Was that on the way back from church or the way to church?
After church, we'd always have to do the obligatory dog walk. Regardless of what Grand Prix was on the television, one would have to walk the dogs.
The piece that premiered at the Royal Festival Hall last month, is it a sort of organ concerto?
Well, it's a kind of an oratorio in a way, because they stupidly offered me a choir as well, the voice lab, and I even had some lovely string players from the BBC Concert Orchestra. I love publicly funded institutions.
So have you always had a kind of contemporary classical flair?
I don't know about flair, but my father especially was, you know, very classically minded, and I was never at all anti it in the way that, you know, most of my contemporaries would have been. You wouldn't ever call me classically trained. I just did, you know, a few years of piano lessons. I was sort of more or less self-taught in that regard. But I have a bit of a magpie musical brain, and I kind of take things on as I hear them. And I listen to more and more, you know, for want of a better word, classical music as I get older. And I take on board everything I hear, hopefully, and it sort of gets regurgitated.
Yeah. Although you are known for a certain amount of wit and bite in your lyrics, and a certain surrealism too. Does that surface in this?
I wouldn't say there's much of a biting lyric to it, although I'd guess with the sort of portrait of the congregation at church, it's a little bit, dare I say, Alan Bennett. You gotta love them, but they also can be a little small-minded.
Yes. When we played your tune, A Lady of a Certain Age, you said that you originally were thinking of writing that for Jane Birkin, and it's funny you should say that, because I've come across the new CD out called Saudade by the Thievery Corporation. Have you heard of the Thievery Corporation?
I haven't.
It's a bit house, it's a bit dub, it's a bit Brazilian, it's a bit Latin. But not this one, not this time. This time really reminds me of Divine Comedy, particularly your European Jane Birkin streak. So this is Décollage, featuring the singer Lulu Gleichkani. Saudade is the album, and the band is Thievery Corporation.
I can't wait.
She copped the secret code and refused to join their coven. And I know a friend of doctor, he used to gamble for the proctor, used to scramble minds for doctor. Mind to the
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find vocalists who are somehow or other akin to the kind of thing that you do. That was Alvarez B, and I think maybe he's a weird version of Neil Young. B.
I like him a lot. I like his rhymes, oven, coven, very good. Although I don't quite really get what he's driving at. But that's good too. Sounds like the cheapest record ever made, which I admire.
Yeah, I think he made it solo in his backyard, probably not on his mobile phone because it's from 1998, but on something very similar, perhaps on a dictaphone, that's what I like to think.
I love the crunchiness, yeah.
So that's Alvarez B. He's better known as Alan Bishop of the band The Sun City Girls. If you haven't dipped into The Sun City Girls, you should. No, really.
I'm going to have to write all this down.
Well, quite possibly. The next track that you'd like to play falls, I think, in the category baroque rock. Would you say?
If it has to be called something, that would fit the bill.
Some people call Divine Comedy baroque rock.
Yeah, well, I was tortured by journalists saying, so you've been listening to The Left Bank for the first 10 years of my career. And being an awkward sod, I thought, well, no, I haven't, and now I'm not going to. And then finally, when I started chumming around with my friend Thomas Walsh in Dublin, he said, so you've obviously been listening to The Left Bank. I went, oh, God, if I hear that one more time. And he said, no, seriously, you've got to listen to it. And he burnt me a CD. And I stuck it on in the car and I thought, oh, where have you been all my life? This is absolutely brilliant. It's just such a shame that they never really sort of broke through to be one of the biggest bands there's ever been. I think he had the potential.
They wrote Walk Away Renee, didn't they? And
they did, yeah, which rather sort of categorised them.
That was such a huge hit that, you know, if you get that rich that suddenly and you're that young.
Well, soon after he was penniless, so it didn't work for him. I think he probably spent it on harpsichords and string quartets by the sound of it.
I'd like to follow this baroque rock tune with another baroque rock tune, so here come Ivy Ivy by The Left Bank, followed by Sam Fermin with The Count.
Always love. best.
New York baroque rock band, Sam Famam, tune called The Count. Well, at that point, we took a break so we could gather our thoughts and some more music. So think of this as the 15-minute intermission, when you can get your chalk ices and programmes and use the facilities, and then we'll get back to Neil Hannon. People are tweeting him very nicely. If you've got comments to make, please tweet us at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction. News around Hackney says Late Junction has divine Neil Hannon chatting. That's a good way to end the day before ye merry month May. Hey, poetry too. Amanda Shearman says, love his voice. Presumably she's talking about Neil Hannam, though she may like mine too. Loving Lake Junction tonight with Neil Hannam from The Divine Comedy, says Louis Gilbert. And so it goes. More, please. Here's another distinctive voice. Kara Arby is known in Mali as the Nightingale of the North. 2 years ago, she had to flee Timbuktu during the war with Islamic extremists who wanted to ban music and musicians permanently. But hopefully now she's back home and thriving. On her album Timbuktu Tarab, she sings out against war and injustice and for better treatment of women in particular. This track is Gumu.
Thank you. And then he realizes that he's standing beside her. She stands there awkward, his eyes are as loud as the bass, and she can recognize something in his face. She scribbles down a number, lingering glance, and she lets herself think maybe this could be her chance. But will it be this way forever? These are lonely days. What if she could be the one that makes it better? He looks away, can't hold her gaze. And will it be this way forever? These are stressful times. What if he could be the one that gets her? She looks away, she's petrified. Will it be this way forever? These are lonely days. What if she could be the one that makes it better? He looks away, can't hold her gaze. And will it be this way forever? Stressful times. What if he could be the one who gets her? She looks away, she's petrified.
Another distinctive voice, and Lake Junction's favourite living poet there, Kate Tempest, with Lonely Days. It's the first single from Everybody Down, her album that's coming out in a few weeks on the Big Dada label, and I'm looking forward to it. And they've put her together with a whole new set of musicians, which is good news, I think. Before that, Tidying Up, another low-strung guitar miniature from Billy Jenkins' semi-detached home album, which has just been released after sitting on the shelf for two decades, or decades, as some people would say. Right now, it's back to the Divine Comedy of my conversation with Neil Hannon, and I can see that Kath is going to be very pleased about that. She tweets in, "More Neil Hannon, please, right now." Here he is.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a woman having two men. Every woman should have at least two men. If you don't, there's something wrong. I mean, guys do it all the time. Guys have a woman on this side of town, the other side of town. They have a woman in another city. Why shouldn't we?
Generation sex respects the rights of girls who wanna take their clothes off. As long as we can all watch, that's okay. And generation sex elects the type of guys you wouldn't leave your kids with. Shouts up with them. Watch their backs, the stacks, in facts, take snaps through telephoto lenses, chase Mercedes Benzes through the night. The morning nation leaps and waves, but keeps the sails. Believe the tabloids healthy, the poor protect the
thank you.
Generation Sex by The Divine Comedy, and Neil Hannon's back with me tonight, and he's brought in a few more records. But what so far has your biggest hit been? Is it
National Express?
National Express.
Way, yeah.
And is that because you've got an enthusiasm for transport?
I just was on the bus and thought, well, it's quite a good title, really, and wrote a few words, attached it to a rather rollicking vaudevillian brass section, and the rest is history. the next thing I hear it accompanying the British rowing team in the Olympics in China.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But none of them had an arse as big as a small country.
No, they couldn't have afforded to have. It crops up in odd places. Some people are very sniffy about their hits, but I thank the Lord every day for it.
You've chosen another classic, which is also about public transport. It's by Flanders and Swann, who are a duo that I'm the wrong age to get, because there was so much of this stuff on the radio when I was little, and you just didn't want to hear it. But I can see they're funny.
Yeah, I have a penchant for the sort of comic song in the truest form, you know, the Tom Lehrer and Noel Coward. Flanders and Swann are very funny. In fact, Slow Train, though, is not one of their funny ones. It's one of their few not funny ones. It's about how the railways were being sort of divested of all their sort of smallest stations at the time in the 50s, or maybe early 60s, I'm not quite sure. And all of these fantastic resonant names were sort of disappearing from the train service. And they wrote a song about it. That's my kind of tune.
And I think it also really feels like it was recorded 40, 50 years ago. It kind of really brings back...
I know, if only I could get that vibe.
Work on it.
I will.
Millersdale for Tideswell, Kirby Muxlow, Malcop and Scholar Green. No more will I go to Blandford Forum and Mortyhoe. On the slow train from Midsummer Norton and Mumby Road. No churns, no porter, no cat on a seat at Chorlton, Kilkenny or Chester le Street. We won't be meeting again on the slow train. I'll travel no more from Littleton Badsey to Openshaw. At Long Santon I'll stand well clear of the doors no more. No whitewashed pebbles, no up and no down, from Formby Four Crosses to Dunstable Town. I won't be going again on the slow train. On the main line and the good siding, the grass grows high at Dogdyke, Tumby Woodside, and Trouble House Halt. The sleepers sleep at Audlem and Ambergate. No passenger waits on Chittering platform or Cheslin Hay. No one departs, no one arrives from Selby to Goole, from St. Earth to St. Ives. They've all passed out of our lives on the slow train. On the slow train. Cockermouth for Buttermere.
On the slow train.
Armley Moor, Adam. Pie Hill and Summercoats.
On the slow train.
Windmill End.
Neil Hannon, your choice there was My Bloody Valentine's To Hear Knows When.
And what a crazy old noise fest it is.
It's a revelation to me. I mean, I kind of vaguely knew of them, but I don't think I've ever focused on them. What a great sound.
Extraordinary sound. And I remember being completely sort of obliterated by it when I heard it first. It was like, I will never attain that in sort of indie guitar music, which is where I kind of started out. So that, if anything, it made me go in a completely different direction because I thought I've been instantly sort of made null and void. Yeah. I actually met Kevin Shields from the band very early on in my career when I first came to London and instantly said, will you produce my next EP? And he was so sort of lovely and chuffed and wouldn't. Oh. And that was fine, you know.
And are you looking for a producer now?
No, I really...
Because you could put the word out.
My own stuff. I think I sort of always have, apart from maybe Regeneration at the beginning of the last decade with Nigel Godrich.
So we've just listened to some indie electronica.
You could call it that.
So now let's listen to some amazingly early electronic music that sounds like it was just put out yesterday. So this is Raymond Scott, Ripples. Thank you. So the amazing Captain Beefheart and his magic band, Abba Zabba from the first album, Safe as Milk. And he still had a slight pop sensibility. And I just thought, this is so Divine Comedy, because here's a man who's very amusing to a bizarre extent with a great, great voice.
That's more the surreal end of amusement. Fantastic stuff. I love the sound. It's great.
The sound of your voice is, you know, you have got one of the great voices in British music.
Shut up. You're too kind.
But it's entirely true. I mean, I've listened to that track that you did with Tom Jones. Tom's obviously got...
Tom is Tom.
Yeah, Tom is Tom, and it's kind of, he's got that iconic voice. But then you come in and you can stand the force.
Mine is all down to mic technique. Tom doesn't even need a microphone, you know. He came into the rehearsal and was bellowing along with us while we were, you know, amplified fully. And somebody said, do you want a microphone? He went, oh, yeah. So he has got the loudest voice I've ever heard. I just get in really close and kind of make it warm. But it's fair. Thank you very much. You
know, but it's very resonant, very rich, very tuneful, always on the money. And who would you say were your inspirations? I mean, you know, Scott Walker.
Well, exactly.
Bowie.
The man who's coming up very shortly in my playlist. Early on, you know, I listened to just regular pop music, but I guess Phil Oakey from the Human League might have a little bit to do with it, you know, that rather sort of baritone-ish kind of vibe. Bowie, to an extent, he has just got such a particular voice. I've recognised in latter years sort of how much of a sort of just a beautiful vibrato-y tenor it is. But, you know, you never think of it like that. You think of it as Bowie, you know. I love Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. I know she's a girl, but I'm sure it still has an impact.
It's this business of allowing your voice to kind of possess the room and possess the music, and that's what you do. Yeah. And, of course, that's also what Scott Walker does.
Well, when I heard Scott Walker for the first time, knowingly, it totally changed my... I mean, it was like all my Christmases coming at once.
So what did you hear?
I'd been told about Walker Brothers and Scott Walker sort of by various people at the time, and then I saw an advert on the telly for a new compilation that came out around that time, 89, 90. So it was The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore, and I thought, that is incredible. And I bought it, and I never looked back. I've been ripping him off ever since.
Not at all. He may be your inspiration. What do you think about this idea that I think it's Simon Hatterston from The Guardian who said that Scott Walker these days was Andy Williams reinventing himself as Stockhausen?
Well, that in itself is a good thing to do in my book. I heard him say recently that singing well is just the stripping away of ego. And I've always relied on ego and self-confidence, you know, for singing. But I get what he means, that when you stop thinking about yourself or, you know, showing off, you sing better. It's bizarre. And I think as he's gone on, you know, he has just been using his voice, you know, purely as an instrument in the music rather than, you know, as his initial incarnation, which was as the great balladeer to be loved by all the ladies, you know. His story, his journey is one of the most fabulous in musical history, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Farmer in the City, this is Off Tilt, and this is what you've chosen.
Do I hear 21, 21, 21? I'll give you 21, 21, 21. Do I hear 21, 21, 21? I'll give you 21, 21, 21. And if I'm not mistaken, we can search from far to far. Dark farmhouses against our eyes. Every night I must realize harness on the left nail keeps withering and withering, then higher above me.
I'm watching out of my ear when the fog goes up. I'm like a river deep. seeing the cloud, but not the sky. He can't be inside. He gets on his bicycle and goes. He can't go out. The light brings him. I'm like him, but much more inside. I'm like him, but more to myself. I'm like him, but much more inside. I'm like him, but more to myself.
So another man with an amazing voice who also played the cello at the same time. That was Arthur Russell, Tower of Meaning, Rabbit's Ear, Home Away From Home, live, and that's from the World of Echo album. Neil Hannon, thank you so much for coming in.
It was my pleasure, Max. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been really enjoyable. And pull out all the stops, the Organ Festival at the Royal Festival Hall, which features Neil's To Our Fathers in Distress, or actually it featured it last month. But the festival goes on all the way till June the 7th, so pop into the festival hall if you're on the South Bank and have a look and have a listen to the organ. Well, many thanks, many, many thanks to Neil Hannon. For me, that definitely hit the spot, and I think it hit the spot for a lot of people out there, judging from the tweets. So there's a deluge of tweets approving what's been going on. Only one person wrote in and curmudgeonly said, cut all the chat. What a thing to say. And there were some nice tweets remembering Neil from his Enniskillen days, and actually somebody saying, will he play anything by his lovely fiancée, Kathy Davey? We'll have to look into that. Well, that's just about it from me for tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with our Lake Junction collaboration session featuring pop multi-instrumentalist and vocalist Laura J. Martin and electronica funk Houdini, Sean Lee. I'm going to leave you tonight with Lead Bib, who start 3 nights at the Vortex tomorrow before they hit the Sounds New Festival in Canterbury on Sunday night. This is from their brand new album, The People in Your Neighbourhood, based on the Sesame Street song of the same name. And this is Imperial Green. Good night, and thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Now think of pieces for singer, clarinet and piano, and Schubert's Shepherd on the Rock may spring to mind. But there are a good many more, as this opening concert proves. It's from the 2013 Rhine Vocal Festival. Soprano Claren McFadden, clarinetist Jörg Wittmann and pianist Oliver Trindl, and their concert closing with the Schubert. But along the way, songs by Wittmann himself, Franz Lachner, and to open here, Louis Spohr, six songs he wrote in the 1830s for the Princess of Schwarzburg-Sonderhausen, for which he received a valuable ring from her in return. Deutsche Lieder is the name they were published with, German songs.
Ich warte die Ruhe. question.